Lace up. It's time for One and Done. 1 hour of basketball talk with Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press, Ryan James from North Star Hoops Report, and Hardwood Rob from the far end of the bench. Timberwolves to Gophers to high school. One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Starting tonight for the Blue Devils, at guard, a 6'1 freshman from Apple Valley, Minnesota, number 5, Tyus Jones. Jumper, Jones to the rim. Oh, what a pass to Tyus Jones.
Might be Jones' time. He's the creator.
Here's Jones. A tough shot. And oh, my goodness.
Big time delivery. We have seen all year long at the end of games, he just comes through.
And yes, ties the game at 54.
Ties Jones time.
Jones, that's a three. Oh. And Duke's right back in front.
How about this kid?
Tyus Jones launches the three. Oh, this kid is on his way to MOP.
A Duke by the little guy.
The Blue Devils are the national champions of 2015.
They sure won it. Welcome to One and Done, the regular season finale, not our last show. I want to make it perfectly clear because Marcus is going to scold me if I don't.
Oh, yeah.
This is not the last show.
Hey, basketball's not over. We got NBA, you know, we got draft coming up, we got high school, AAU season.
We just won't necessarily be on, like, every week. We're just going to be... Is your mic on?
Is it on?
Yeah.
There it is. I'm just glad to join you today. It's nice.
We're also joined by Al Nolan, our first guest and our last guest of the regular season.
Hello there. Hello there.
Welcome, Al. Thank you for joining us. We might as well go ahead and talk about Ty Jones. He is the topic of our poll question today, which is Tyus, best high school player ever to come out of Minnesota. I feel kind of awkward now asking this question. Now we got
after Al Nolan, of course. Yeah, after Al. Well, we'll go with Al first. I mean, what do you think? I mean, obviously, before he won the championship here, a lot of people talked about Khalid Al-Amin because he won it at UConn.
Yeah, I think it's almost a toss-up, man. And, you know, with Khalid Al-Amin kind of being an old-school guy, I'll still go with Khalid. But like one of my coaches said, Khalid's like Michael Jordan and Tyus is like LeBron James. So he's the
nice.
New school.
I love that. Yeah, Khalid, I mean, if you look at what he accomplished in high school, you know, it does trump what Tyus did as far as his team.
Three state titles.
Yeah, but...
They won three?
Khalid got three. Yeah.
Was that 98, 96, 97, 98?
I believe so, yes.
All right. I'm on it. See, I know what
one
I'm talking about with his high school basketball.
One of those years he trampled the press row, which made him the enemy of, like, all the old-time media.
Oh, my gosh, I remember that. Nice. I just remember that big Khalid Al-Amin booty just flying into the press. Let's just put it out there. Dude used his size, okay? I got a love for Khalid as well. My boy DeMont he just took 42, like when we were in junior high or whatever, when they were doing their thing, and 42 is like he's made his daughter wear 42 now.
Nice.
You know what I mean? That's how much love he's got for Khalid. So, you know, because of that sort of familial connection, Tyus though, that on the biggest stage at the biggest moment.
Well, it's funny that, you know, UConn did beat Duke in the championship, but I think with Tyus, just the fact that he was a freshman, the fact that he was playing for Coach K, you know, the fact that he was playing with Okafor, I mean, you know, they had the target on them all season. You know, it wasn't like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, toward the end of the year they made a run. I mean, it was Kentucky, you know, Duke.
Did they though all season?
I mean, target as far. I mean, I felt like, you know, everyone was talking about Kentucky, obviously, but you know, everybody was talking about Okafor being the number one pick. Everybody, you know, when they played Wisconsin, they beat Wisconsin in Madison. You know, obviously they took some hits in the ACC, but you know, Tyus, you know, I think that he did, you know, on the biggest stage, you know, everyone knew who Tyus was after the NCAA state tournament. You know, Sports Illustrated cover. I mean, that was an amazing.
I mean, I made that
picture,
my Twitter. That was my Twitter header like 5 minutes after it happened.
And the story behind that, obviously, he was looking at his brother JD when they're both yelling at the same time. I wish I could have seen that like on video. That would have been something else, but. You know, Al, I wanted, you know, when you look at a point guard like Tyus, you know, the development that he made, I don't, you've probably seen him in high school, of course. You know, what did you think was the biggest improvement that you've seen him make, you know, once he got to college?
You know what, I wouldn't say it was an improvement, but I think something he continued to grow with and excel was his poise. As a point guard, you know, you have to be, you know, cool, calm, and collected, and you have to run a team. You can never, ever get rattled. And Tyus being a freshman, and like you were just saying, being on the biggest stage and being able to lead one, probably the biggest program right now, to a national title is just simply amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That was the most amazing part of his whole, I mean, just the almost stoicism. Like, he had that Tim Duncan-esque quality to it. You know what
stoicism,
I mean?
He says.
That's right. I was an English
stoicism.
Major. I wasn't always in radio.
Are you trying to prove it right now that we're doing? No, Tyus, I mean, he's living up to our show. He's going to be one and done. I mean, Clay played 3 years, right? Tyus is going to be the one and done guy. I think he's going to have a longer NBA career than Clay did. Although Clay went overseas quick, and I think he played in every country in Europe. Did he? Maybe
he made too much. He was still making money. He was still making good money.
He was like the best guy in each league. Every
Euros.
Yeah, he could tell you about all the money over there.
But I did talk to Tyus this week, and I asked him, you know, people are going to expect you at this point, you know, for what you accomplished at Duke. They're going to talk about you in the breath of who the best player to ever come out of Minnesota, and you know, he obviously, you know, the player he is, the character that he has, you know, he's pretty humble by it. But he did talk about the fact that Khalid Al-Amin motivated him, you know, and,
really?
And yeah, that he had talked to Khalid in the past, and the fact that what Khalid accomplished in winning a national title coming from Minnesota, you know, he kind of wanted to follow in those footsteps. And, you know, the same thing's going to happen to players, you know, after Tyus to want to follow him, not necessarily to Duke, could be in Minnesota, but they want to make that impact on the biggest stage. And, you know, Al's a perfect example of a guy that wanted to stay home and wanted to, you know, to do the best for the home state team. And, you know, Al, I mean, what's it going to take, in your opinion, for maybe the next great player out of Minnesota? I mean, are they going to stay home and maybe not follow the footsteps of Tyus, but, you know, maybe do it with Minnesota?
I think it's just going to take for a coach to get back to our winning ways. You know, when Coach Smith was here, there was an excitement around the program. And so once he gets that excitement back around the program, I think a lot of kids will be really interested in sticking around. And also, the U of M just has to update and has to catch up with every other school when it comes to practice facilities, et cetera.
Right.
And that was even a problem while I was there. It was a huge problem, gym time and whatever. And it's like, we're in college. We should be able to access the gym whenever we want. We shouldn't have to share it with the dance team. So they need to upgrade their facilities. And I think a lot of kids want to stay around.
You might want to have the dance team in the background.
It's not the worst team to share.
It wasn't always like that, too, because on my managing days, I mean, every once in a while they go in there. But if a player needed to go, you just have one of us meet them up there, and they were able to shoot. That wasn't the case for you guys. Things changed. You know, the girls came back. Like, they weren't when the Gophers were going to the Final Four, the girls weren't in there. They were in the pavilion. Things changed, and everyone wanted to use Williams Arena, and poor Al had to go shoot outside of Centennial Hall instead of going to talk somebody and letting them shoot outside of the rec center.
I do remember a story with Tubby. It was one of the regular press conferences, and we were on the Williams Arena court. And right in the middle of Tubby's, like, conversation, all of a sudden, like, the music just came on. And he was, like, looking around, and he was, like, scratching his head, like, what is going on here? And then one of the dance team coaches, like, walks up, and she's like, oh, you know, we got time right now on the court. And he looked at her like, don't you know who I am? And he's like, sorry, we got time right now. And he was like, man.
He said the hell no.
You know when the girls, they painted that hallway down all the, you know, Tommy refused to walk down that hallway after they did that. He went all the way around after that.
Hell no.
Tubby. So what you're saying, though, Al, it kind of sounds like there is an innate sort of an ingrained desire to stay at home, but the incentives just aren't there. The incentive, whether it be winning or whether it be so. Does Coach Pitino, does he have what it takes to build that program to partner with the university to really put us in a position to keep some of our players?
I think he does. And I think if he would have been here a little bit earlier and maybe been able to talk to some of those guys like Tyus or Rashara, he may have been able to get them to stay. And I think once he starts to take over, you know, Minnesota, and he starts to really plant his feet, he'll be able to keep kids around, and he'll be able to develop those good relationships with coaches and programs to keep them around. But, you know, like I said, they really need to update those facilities. And I think that's what the new athletic director is really pushing hard for. And hopefully they're able to get that so we can catch up and get the program back running right.
Yeah, I did talk to Pitino this week. And, you know, one of the biggest things I asked him was, you know, look at what Tyus accomplished at Duke, and, you know, the next Tyus Jones, you know, how now Minnesota players are in the spotlight. I mean, there's no question. Mm-hmm. And teams from all over the country are going to come to Minnesota if they already weren't before and try to look for the next great player. And, you know, I'm going to read quote for quote, word for word what he told me. You know, it doesn't get me too excited when they're doing it for other teams. But there is good talent, and we certainly need to put up a fence around the borders. But I think one of the keys, and I don't talk about facilities a whole lot, but when we build the practice facility and upgrade everything, it makes it a bigger impact on local recruits than it does national recruits. And guys locally will see what we're committed to, and that's very, very important. And that's huge. I mean, I he's never really talked about facilities a whole lot, because I think when he came in, you know, one of the reasons why they hired a Patino was because, you know, he was young and he knew that, you know, it was gonna take time for things to build. You know, he wasn't a Tubby Smith to come in and kind of felt entitled that, hey, I want a practice facility now. You know, I want this, I want that. I was at Kentucky and I want the same things at Minnesota. But, you know, Patino realizes that, hey, in order to compete, just like Al says, with everyone else in recruiting, you know, local recruits are going to want to see that upgrade and want to see that commitment to the program. And, you know, they're close. I mean, they've had a couple, you know, big donations to the practice facility. You know, I think football is the priority, but basketball is coming pretty quick.
The Gophers have their late signing period is going on like next week. Is that correct? We're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes. Just real quickly, though, Tyus, what's his ceiling?
Oh, you know what? Honestly, and I know, you know, we talked about defense. I think it could be close to Chris Paul. Not exactly Chris Paul, but, you know, that type of player. Maybe a
poor man's Chris Paul.
A poor man's Chris Paul. I don't want to say a poor man's, but yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's but not that's not bad.
Yeah. Cliff Paul. So you're saying
Cliff Paul. There you go.
He's Cliff.
Tyus is going to be a Cliff Paul. You look at the NBA draft.net things. They put these little, like, scales up, and they don't go lower than a 6 because, you know, you really don't want to hurt nobody's feelings too much. But, like, they put the lowest thing for him is athleticism, and then the second lowest is potential. So, I mean, I guess they don't think his ceiling is going to be that high, and he's that NBA-wise not
see,
that great.
I disagree with that, though. I think
that's what it says. I didn't say it.
No, I know. I just want to disagree with you, man. Can I argue with you a little bit?
I'm trying to figure out how he got a 7 on the defense.
I haven't argued with you yet, Ryan. I'm just trying to get something out there. But, I do agree that athleticism, there's nothing he can do about that. Size, nothing he can do about it. But defense, you know, he can improve on that. Maybe coming back a year would help, but I just don't think that, you know, it would help that much. I think playing against the best in the world, I mean, he's going to have to improve on defense or, you know, he won't play. And I just think his potential is bigger than what people think because the dude runs a team. I mean, the dude can run a team. He's proven that, you know, he's improved on his ability to get to the basket and finish. You know, he's crafty. I mean, he's going to find ways to score. Is he going to score 20 points a game like Chris Paul in the NBA? Probably not. But, you know, there's a reason why a lot of people compare him to Jason Kidd, because his vision and his ability to run an offense and run a team, you haven't seen that come out of college. Even as a freshman, you haven't seen that come out of college in a long time.
I don't know if I agree with Jason Kidd because that stroke. He's got that stroke.
No, but Jason couldn't shoot. Jason could not shoot.
I'll tell you what,
when
Tyus,
he came out of college.
When they
shoot.
Needed buckets in that second half, who's getting buckets?
Yeah, man.
Tyus got buckets.
On that Sports Illustrated cover, it was a three-pointer.
Yeah.
It was a three-pointer.
23 points, 5 rebounds, 7-for-7 from the free throw line, 2-for-3 from the three-point line in 37 minutes of play. He outscored his nearest teammate by like 10 or 12 points.
I also want to say when Tyus wants to ball pressure D, he can be a menace. It's just, you know, when he shows it, he can do it. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that looks in the NBA.
It's funny we're talking about a point guard that lacks defense and athleticism, because don't we have one for the Wolves right now?
Slow down.
But he's the franchise. I mean, he's the franchise right now.
Saying he's not a good athlete is dumb. I feel guilty that that's even says that on here.
Freaking!
Aw.
My bad. Okay. You know who I like, though? Mike Conley.
Right.
I kind of like Mike Conley as a ceiling. I'm just going to put that out. And then the similarities with having a big man that
he's
going
to he's had a pretty
with.
Good career, man.
I'm hoping I'm not entirely right on the comparison between Okafor and Oden. I'm just going to say
but
that,
they both
too.
Came out as freshmen. They both came out as freshmen. And, you know, I thought, obviously, Oden had, you know, people thought he was going to be the next greatest thing. But Mike Conley has, you know, extended his career as long as he has. And he's worked on his offense. When he came out of college, I was thinking, this guy is not going to score a lick in the NBA. And he's averaging double figures right now. He's carved out a pretty good career. And, you know, I think Conley's a better athlete than Tyus, you know, so maybe that's where the comparison, you know, kind of falls. But
maybe. I like the fact that they're both kind of floor generals, you know what I mean?
I know what you're saying about that.
All right, we got to continue this conversation in just a couple of minutes. It's One and Done, 105 The Ticket.
One and Done, basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
I can't believe it took me to the last show to get this beat on. You know what I mean? This is like the perfect Saturday morning song.
I was listening to the car on the way here.
I mean, if anybody wants to rhyme it right now, just don't say the cuss words, because there's a lot of them.
Hey, I used to have it in the boombox in the Austin Y. That's right.
There we go.
You, the old ladies in there, did not know what was going on.
We were talking about the Gophers' late signing period being next week. What's what do we got on the horizon with this late signing period? Are we going to pin down somebody? Are we actually going to secure some talent?
There is, you know, a group that you got to kind of wrap your arms around from three different areas. You have the high school kids. They're still after Malik Ellison. Malik has not taken another visit. He's supposed to take a couple more. They continue to get more and more offers every day, but I keep being told the Gophers are in a great spot. Still a top team to watch until somebody else steps in. So watch Malik Ellison. Him and Tyson Jolly, who's an Oklahoma high school product, who's at California right now on a visit, who appears to be the favorite. Those are the two guys they're after the most out of the high school ranks, and there's a few other guys that are talking to that will be more of a summer decision after grade-wise. You have transfers. You have to continue to watch the transfer market. I just talked to a kid yesterday from Southern Illinois who averaged 10 points a game, a monster named Jordan Caroline. Jordan Caroline, yes, his last name is Caroline, and he will punch you in the face, even though his last name is Caroline. He's a guy they talked to. He's visiting Cincinnati next weekend. So, I mean, and that's the transfer market. You got to keep watching that. And then there's a JUCO guy. I talked to his coach 2 days ago. His name's Chris Bouchard. He's the...
It's not Bobby Boucher?
No, not Bobby Boucher. It's Chris Boucher.
He's from Canada, right?
Man, I almost swore again. Off of that movie.
He's from Canada, right?
Yeah, he is from Canada. He's in Wyoming right now. He's a National Junior College Player of the Year. He's a great fit for the U. He's a 6'10" point man on
you
the
can do
front
it.
Of the press. He's visiting Minnesota at the end of the month. He's going to Texas Tech next weekend. Nice. So it's Tubby versus Patino.
Tubby's going to be hating.
Yeah, but let me
we got a practice facility over here at Texas Tech.
Lubbock sucks. I used to live there, man. Ooh. That sucks.
You lived in Lubbock?
Yeah, I lived in a trailer park in Lubbock my dad lived down there for a minute. It's not the spot. It is not the spot. Well, they do have drive-through liquor stores, though.
I'll bet. That's a good spot for it down there. What did Texas Tech win, 7 games this year?
Yeah.
Something like that?
You know, I talked to Patino a little bit about recruiting. Obviously, he can't name specific players, but, you know, he did say, I was interested that he did say that we're not guaranteed to sign anybody. I mean, obviously, they're going to sign at least one person in the late period, but they're not going to add anybody that's not going to help them. I mean, if they feel like they don't get their top guys, like you're talking about, the Malik Ellisons, the Chris Bouchers of the world, they're not going to force a player into necessarily a high school player or anybody into this class, because they do have, you know, a class filled right now with players that he's excited about. I mean, I'll mention Kevin Dorsey here because he talked a little bit about him this week. You know, he said Kevin has the physical and defensive ability to come in and play right away. You know, one thing everybody was just assuming that, and including Ryan over here, was just assuming that Kevin was going to come in and start at point guard. But, you know, Patino squashed that this week and kind of said, that's just not set in stone, because he doesn't know for sure if he wants to put that much pressure on a freshman. You know, it could be. Hey, you could earn it. He could earn it when he comes in here. But
I think he'll earn it quick.
Nate Mason is the guy right now, and could they play together in the backcourt? You know, I mean,
heck yeah, they could play together in the backcourt. I'm gonna tell you what. 2 years ago, I told everybody how good Nate Mason was gonna be. Love Nate Mason on the circuit. That's my same thing on Kevin Dorsey. Now, I'm not saying Kevin's gonna walk in and be starting point guard right away, but eventually he's going to be, and he's going to be quick. Because I have the same excitement that I had. Did I not say about Nate Mason?
Come
on now.
You did.
I mean, I have the same thing with Kevin Dorsey that I had on Nate Mason. I think they're gonna be a great pair together.
Well, let's put it to Al here, because he played a lot as a freshman, and I think he even started some games as a freshman, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about what pressure is on a freshman. I mean, you know, Tyus is Tyus. You know, there aren't many Tyuses out there, what pressure did you have as a freshman coming into Minnesota?
Just coming in and catching up with the speed of the game, learning the game. Being able to be reliable on the court, you know, you kind of feel like if you're going to be out there playing and you have some seniors who are watching you or sitting on the bench or whatever, you have a lot of pressure to to produce out there because you're a freshman coming in and you're getting a lot of playing time. And I think just getting used to playing in front of all those fans and the demands coach is going to have on you is the toughest thing.
I mean, when you played as a freshman, who was the starting point guard? I can't even remember.
Lawrence McKenzie.
Yeah. So, I mean, but he was more of a combo guy, yeah. just like Nate is. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you were more of the natural, you know, point guard. And I feel like once you were ready to take over that position, Tubby was like, okay, you're going to be the guy. Am I wrong?
Yeah. And kind of like what you guys were just saying, they started out having us play together, playing back and forth. And then as I became a little bit better and a little more comfortable with the role, they moved Mac to the two permanently and put me at the one. So when Dorsey comes, you know, they'll have him playing a little bit together, him and Mason, and then eventually somebody will have to take that one spot.
Oh, yeah.
You don't even see it, but Marcus is over here just eyeballing Ryan like, see, I told you.
We'll see.
I ignore his
He might have the last laugh. But, you know, the thing that made you ready to play, though, Al, is the fact that you could play defense. And physically, I mean, I felt like, you know, I mean, you're probably the same now that you were when you were a freshman. I mean, you developed early physically. You're ready to come in and you weren't overwhelmed by the Big Ten, right?
Yeah, no, not at all. And when I coming in, I knew that the only way for me to be on the court was to harass other players. And I knew that, hey, coach ain't going to be able to take me out because I'm going to be on this guy so bad, you know? And so once I came out there and played to the best of my strengths, then I let everything else come to me and, you know, slowly but surely. So guys just need to go out there and do what they do best. And then, you know, everything else will come with it.
I'm going to call it right now, best on-ball defender since Al Nolan. I'm going to write that, Kevin Dorsey.
Dude, that's an easy call. I've been saying that forever. I'm going to tell you who's got to be worried. Like, Melvin Newburn has had that steals record for, like, what? Like, he's had it since, like, 90?
Carlos Morris almost had it.
No.
No, all-time steals record. All-time, he's, like, 216. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Single game.
Kevin is the guy to watch for it. Okay. Where did you finish?
I finished second. I finished 10 behind Melvin, okay. And I missed 35 career games. So
that's about right.
Oh, he would have had
I remember selling that. Like,
Al would have had the assist record. He would have had the steals record, you know.
Injuries, man. It's 1 and Done on 105 The Ticket. You can hit us up with a question if you want. We've got Al Nolan here, Hardwood Rob, Marcus Fuller, Ryan James, 651-989-9105. You can also respond to us on Twitter. It's at 1and Done 105. Spell out the 1and Done. Our poll question is Tyus Jones the best high school player to come out of Minnesota? That's being hotly debated on Twitter right now. I'm not even going to get into all the tweets that are going on. You know, it's funny that we were just talking about defense because this Mark Cuban tirade that sort of went on about college basketball, one of the things that, I'll just get into it for a second. His criticism of college basketball, if they want to keep kids in school, keep them from being pro players, they're doing it the exact right way by having a 35-second shot clock, having the game look and officiated the way it is, just because kids don't know how to play a full game of basketball. Three kids passing on the perimeter, 10 seconds on the shot clock. They try to make something happen while the other two kids stand around. They don't look for anything and run back on defense, so there's no transition game. And two out of the five, three out of the five, or in some cases, four out
he's
of five
rambling,
kids aren't
rambling.
Involved in play. I mean, he's hot about it.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's something that I've always kind of been like down on college basketball about because, yes, the game is certainly faster than high school where you've got like no shot clock and, you know, dudes are out there. I mean, it's a lot. There's a lot more of a disparity in talent. But with college basketball, especially Division I college basketball, you expect the pace of the game to be quicker. 35, I mean, there are times. What the final score of the game, of the national championship game, was 68-63.
Which is fine. It's fine.
So you disagree with Cuban then?
Yeah, well, Mark probably had just bought three companies and was having a drink afterwards and went nuts.
He is my favorite shark in the tank. I'm not even going to lie.
But I'm telling you, college basketball is fine. I mean, there's up-tempo teams. There's teams that slow it down. College basketball is fine. Quit messing with it. It's fine.
Marcus?
Well, I feel like there are probably some things that they could do. I mean, I feel like, shot clock, you know, I feel like the lane. I think, you know, I think the lane needs to change. I think the charges this year, I mean, what's a charge anymore? I mean, I don't know.
The officiating was totally inconsistent throughout the tournament, for sure. He says something else that the game is more physical than the NBA. And I do think that you see some really, I mean, some guys who are premier big men, who are really talented big guys, but that probably aren't going to pan out anymore in today's NBA, or at least aren't going to have such a an impact, maybe the impact that they would have.
One of the things he did mention in that story, which it scratches my head, but, you know, I mean, anytime you can make more money, you got to do it, is that everybody has a different ball. You know, I mean, well, there's several teams that have certain, you know, shoe companies that, but this year, you know.
We had Andre Hollins having that issue, right?
Well, he claimed to have that issue, but, you know, I squashed that. I talked to Patino after that game, and he said, well, we were practicing with Adidas balls before all week, you know, so there's no excuse to that.
It's a different feel, though. It really is, trust me.
Some of those balls, like the seams are all low and are deep, and then like they're all sticky, and the feel is weird.
What do you think about any of that stuff that Cuban's talking about?
I disagree. I'm with Ryan. I like the game the way it is. I don't want to make it into NBA game. I like the grit and the grind, and I like players, you know, being physical. And I think if they change it to where, you know, they're calling this hand checking really, really tight now, so they're trying to give more freedom to, you know, players to move and things. I want them to keep the game how it is in college. And I think a lot of the players actually are learning a lot in college than going on to NBA. But if they change it to the NBA game, it's going to be a little weird to me.
It's funny that the development, you know, it doesn't seem to be sticking, because, like, I was watching TNT on Thursday, and Isaiah Thomas was making a note about how we're seeing all of these great guards nowadays, but it's tomfoolery, because the truth is these dudes aren't in defensive stance. They're everybody standing, and you look at the highlights that he's rolling, and everybody's standing, and you see that kind of in the college game when to Cuban's point, ball's just going around the perimeter and dudes are just sort of are standing, and all
ready
of a sudden
one
it's time to make a play, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But what do you see in the NBA game that's so much different? I mean, you just come down and you run a little fake action and you throw it to a guy with 10 seconds and he decides to
The NBA, because of the 24-second clock, is the pace really allows for one or two sets. Yep. So you get into those sets, and then if a play breaks, then it kind of breaks. That's why the pick and roll is such a heavy action in the NBA.
Yeah.
But the problem that I do have is with those, it seems like, all right, we're just going to sort of watch them push the ball around the top, and then it's going to be time to make a move. Whereas with that 24-second pace, it's just a little bit more accelerated, and you see more possessions in a game, and you see more action in a game.
I don't want to watch one action and done. Like, that's not the essence of basketball. The essence of basketball is grinding out a team with a possession. And if that team can't play defense long enough, the ball reversal is going to hurt you. Your rotation is going to hurt you. That's what I want to watch. That's what basketball is.
So that's why you stopped watching the NBA after like the 96 Knicks.
I don't watch the NBA until playoff time.
You're that kind of pulls at my heartstrings, because some of those my favorite squads were the Ewings and the Oakleys and the Masons.
I want to see
those matchups with the Miamis.
Why is Wisconsin good? Because they grind teams out with ball reversals, with screens, and they make you defend.
But for years,
I don't want a game where the kids don't have to defend. I want the kids to defend.
For years, people hated Wisconsin watching them play, though. Come on. I mean, in the last few years, Wisconsin has
changed.
It's been
kind of a knock on Big Ten basketball in general,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Wisconsin was kind of that team in the Big Ten, you know, there's basically, you know, your prototypical Big Ten team. I mean, they weren't necessarily as physical as Michigan State, you know, but they definitely played that slowdown style, and they, you know, they didn't turn over the ball. They made sure everybody, you know, caught a pass before they took a shot. And I feel like Wisconsin in the last few years, I mean, they've had the talent, more talent, of course, but they've gotten more, you know, up-tempo. I mean,
because they have the players.
Offense has taken, you know.
They couldn't win on Monday.
Years.
They couldn't win on Monday.
Yeah, they fell apart mentally on Monday. They're not that slow. Like, yes, every once in a while they're possession where they're really grindy, but they have talent. It's not that slow. Because defenses are so bad, Wisconsin can use their offense. Like, late in the game, you saw a flex screen on the back, okay? And it was a wide-open bucket for Decker under the basket. Because I think it was Justice Winslow didn't play defense off of 5 seconds. Like, come on.
Yeah.
If you take the shot clock and make it bigger, or make it smaller, you're letting these kids off the hook who refuse to do it.
One thing they can do is they can change the three-point line. To me, you got to put it out at least international distance. Am I wrong about that?
We got to answer that question in a couple of minutes. We're going to continue this conversation next. It's One and Done, 105 The Ticket.
Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, some hardwood highlights from around the NBA last night. San Antonio and Houston flipped playoff positions after the Spurs beat the Rockets 104-103. Houston went to sixth seed. San Antonio up to the third. They have a chance to finish above Memphis with three games remaining in the season. Greg Popovich called for the hack-a-shack on Josh Smith, where he went 12 for 22 at the line. Popovich said he'd trade for the hack-a-smith any day rather than James Harden with the basketball, and it worked. Harden scored his first points of the second half with 90 seconds remaining and ended up with 16 on the night. Tim Duncan scored 29 on 12 of 15 shooting. Dallas beat Denver in double overtime, 144 to 143. That's crazy. That 144 was the most points scored in the season. Their coach, Rick Carlisle, Dallas's coach, is a few wins away from topping Don Nelson as the Mavs' all-time winningest coach. Everyone's pretty much setting up for the playoffs right now. It starts April 18th. We've got a guest on the line today, Coach Daryl Sharp of Hampton. Thank you for joining us today, Coach.
Thank you for having me.
You had to battle Kentucky this year.
Yeah, we had an opportunity to play, obviously, one of the best teams in the country. And, I mean, they were very, very talented, obviously, from top to bottom. So it was a good challenge for our program, and it gave us an opportunity to get a lot of national exposure. You know, we were really, really excited about that opportunity. Didn't play as well as we would have liked. But, you know, again, I mean, that Kentucky team with six or seven NBA guys was a lot to handle for a smaller program like ours. But, you know, we were very excited that we were part of the NCAA tournament, and able to play Manhattan in the first round was great for our program.
Well, what's up, Daryl? You know, obviously you look at the way that Towns played in this NCAA tournament, and, you know, a lot of people are thinking, man, you know, he could be the number one pick in the draft. But before this NCAA tournament, not a lot of people felt that way. I mean, what do you think of Towns and the way he looked in the tournament?
I think that, you know, Towns really impressed me. I think he was a lot better than you know, I was the coach that did the scouting report. He was a lot more talented, I think, than people gave him credit to be. Could really score. I mean, you know, after watching about three of Kentucky's games, I put him in that class with Okafor. And, you know, me and my boss talked a little bit about, you know, who were kind of talking, like, who's better? Is Okafor better or is Towns better? I mean, it just kind of depends on what NBA team is you know, going to draft. But he's very, very, very talented. Very impressed with him. I think he's going to have a long, great career in the NBA.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was Towns, because you got to prove that I'm right here in this conversation. I've been saying Towns this whole time, man.
Well, he's good. I mean, both those guys are good. I mean, you can't go wrong with either guy.
You know, a conversation that sparked maybe some heated debate here in the room was Tyus Jones' ceiling. After seeing his performance in the national championship game and playing, you know, what do you see for Tyus Jones? How good can he be?
You know, Tyus has been a kid, obviously. I mean, I'm from the Twin Cities. My son, Stephon Sharp, played over at Hopkins and was a 2014 kid. So I've had a chance to watch Tyus for a long time, you know, from the time he played with the Hustlers from fourth grade on. I think people really underestimate Tyus's ability to win and to take things to the next level. I mean, I think he has to get the right situation at the next level. If he can play with two wings that are pretty good. But in that national championship game, I mean, he just made play after play after play to put Duke in a position to win. And I think he's done that, you know, from high school on. I mean, he's not the most athletic guy in the world, but it seems like he just finds a way and a will to get things done. So I think he'll be a great pro. No, I think he's going to have a long career as a pro, though. I mean, I think he's got a great understanding of the game. He knows how to facilitate. He knows how to make guys better around him. And the big asset, in my opinion, is he's a true point guard. He wants to pass the ball.
That's outstanding. Coach, we appreciate you calling in today. Congratulations on your success this season. We wish you nothing but the best of luck out there at Hampton.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me today.
See you, D.
Actually, we've got another caller. Let me see if I can grab this. This is JR from Minneapolis. He's got an opinion on Tyus versus Khalid El-Amin. So I'm going to get him on the line really quick. Yo, JR, are you there?
Yes, sir.
So you've got a take on Tyus versus Khalid El-Amin.
Yes, sir. I love both players. I actually know them both. I'm very familiar with the Minneapolis and Minnesota travel basketball program, as well as Al, because I coached at Minneapolis Lincoln Traveling, and I don't know if he remembers me, but I'm very familiar with the slight edge, I think, between the both, and I know them both personally, and I've seen them grow up. I think the physicalness and physical build, height-wise, Tyus does have that edge over Khalid El-Amin. And he did an exceptional job. And I have to be honest, this is the first time I've ever rooted for Duke in a championship game. and I was very proud of him. But three state championships, arguably in all three of those years, he was arguably Mr. Basketball of Minnesota, hands down. I don't think anybody can deny that. Any of those 3 years, Lid was head at North. I think that's the one difference. I only think that the one thing that separated Lid was, I think when he came out of UConn, he should have got a trainer. I think he should have got a physical trainer that would have kind of slimmed him down a little bit more, and he could have stayed around probably in the league. But they were both true point guards. But I think that edge, even shooting wise, I remember seeing games with him, and I don't know if any of you all even remember even in the St. Thomas game where he actually won that whole game. He has a will in him all the time. When he has to do it, Lid would do it. And Tyus the same way, but I think that's the only difference, I think, is that physicalness. He's in better shape than Lid. He was in better shape than Lid. Also, I agree with you all 100% that with the U of M facility, it's hard for not just city, but even suburb kids that are coming out. You take a great kid coming out of Hopkins looking at going to the U, and the facility at Hopkins is better than the – and I'm just being honest. The facility there is better than the facility at the U. That's kind of hard for a kid to look at and to go to.
That's outstanding. Well, thank you, JR. I appreciate you calling. Yes, I appreciate your insight today. You know, in a lot of ways, I kind of agree with him, because, like, when I used to play, we used to call, like, Wayzata the University of Wayzata. You know what I mean? Same thing out at Hopkins. It was like the University of Hopkins. It's because the facilities are just outstanding. And that does make an impression on a kid. I mean, all this conversation around Tyus, though, I'm putting the music up. You know, he's my killing it for the week. We've only got like a couple minutes left here to get to our killing it. I know Ryan's probably got a couple minutes worth, so I might as well swing it at you.
You got limited to one now, Ryan.
No, we got five. Gary Trent had 25 last night in UIBO win. Gary Trent from Apple Valley. Vinny Shahid, Hopkins point guard. He had a huge first game in the Adidas Uprising Tour. Ishmael El-Amin, Khalid's son. He's played very well the last 2 weekends for net gain. Matthew Hurt, we were talking about the next, like, McDonald's All-America type guy. That's Matt. Matt's first games, he had a double-double, 12 and 12. I just got that in. Matthew Hurt's the next guy that they need. And
by the way,
his brother, Michael, is already a Minnesota commit. And then the last one, Amar Miller, Minnetonka point guard, also point guard of the Howard Pulley. He got his first scholarship offer from Bryant last night. Congratulations to Amar.
Well, real quick, Amanda Zallie B, she's going to be projected as the number one pick in the WNBA draft. She declared early after her sophomore year, first college player ever.
You laughed at me when I asked you, like, is she gonna
go early?
You never
said that. I did.
I swear I did. And you were like, nah, man, that's not how women basketball works, man. That's not how it works. So I'm going to give
gonna this I'm just going to deny that you said that.
That was for me.
But, you know, WNBA draft is next week. Zallie B will be the number one pick. Really, she's about to get paid.
She's that to that level?
Yeah, wow, oh, yeah, she is. I mean, Seattle has the number one pick. They need a center. This year, there's a couple women that are coming out. Connecticut has a shooter that's coming out. But really, I mean, there's no contest. She will be the number one pick. And, you know, you can't blame her for leaving early. Although next year's team, you know, could have been a potential Final Four team with Rachel Banham and her Carly Wagner. And now she's leaving early. But she can't get paid overseas, just like, you know, Al knows this. You know, obviously, yeah, overseas, I mean,
they can make more over there.
Oh, yeah. Russia, yeah. They pay them tons.
More.
It's too bad. I mean, it's good for her, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, you think of little girls right now. The girls right now who are playing high school basketball, going into college, what was their basketball memory? It was McCarville and Whalen. Oh, yeah. And then this would have been, like, you know, these two,
Bantam and Thigh B, they would have been that next combo for the kids coming up.
It's too bad, man. I mean, but at the same time, you can't help.
If you're the number one pick, if she was a guy, and you had a chance to go number one overall,
it's the right decision.
And get paid, you gotta do it.
She's gonna go get them rubles.
She's from Sweden.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up here in just a minute. It's One and Done, 105 The Ticket.
One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, some games to watch this week. Let's see. NBA TV has Memphis at Golden State on Monday. TNT's doubleheader Tuesday night is Washington at Indiana, the Clippers at Phoenix, ESPN on Wednesday, Charlotte at Toronto, and Indiana at Memphis. The Wolves wrapping up their season with New Orleans in town Monday night, and then Wednesday at home against Oklahoma City. And then they're watching the playoffs just like us. They start April 18th. We've got a couple of responses to the poll question here. The poll question, of course, is Tyus Jones the best high school player to come out of Minnesota? Sodak Spotlight, that's at 605 Swag, says Randy Brewer or Khalid El-Amin. And then Tom Gag at Gag TJ Gag 1 says Kevin McHale. That's kind of, I mean, you're talking about a Hall of Famer. That's kind of hard to argue with, I
guess.
I thought
McHale really blossomed. Didn't he blossom the most once he got to college?
Yeah. Well, I felt like, you know, if you're going to go with the NBA career, I mean.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, but I think that you just talk about what they accomplished in high school and then in college. You know, I think Tyus and Khalid are right there. And, you know, if not, maybe even greater. Am I wrong on that?
No, but you know who sold more tickets than any high school basketball player of all time? Sam Jacobson. And everybody back in that time
to be
knows
your cousin.
That.
Happens to be your cousin.
Happens to be, but everybody knows that.
That's a coincidence, man. Yeah. That's just a coincidence.
No, I mean, did you watch Sam in high school?
I didn't never get a chance to watch him, but I knew who he was growing up. I knew all about him and how his name was really rung bells.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin McHale obviously too. I mean, everybody, every kid in Minnesota knows who Kevin McHale is. But I mean, what did you think of him? Like when you learned that he was with the Celtics, and you know, when you're younger and you're like, and this guy was from Minnesota. I mean, what did you feel about that?
I thought it was amazing for somebody to come from Minnesota and have such a career that he had, and to be so well known. You know, and going into Williams Arena, looking up there at the banners up there, his name up in the Raptors. It's just amazing, you know, and to see those type of things in the history, you know, he's been through and the people he's played with.
It's a trip whenever I hear Barkley say that he's the best he ever played against. That's always like, wow, like that. It opens your eyes a little bit about, I mean, it's different for you because you played on
it. You couldn't like sip. You couldn't like he was so good over both shoulders and with both hands and so crafty, like it was nearly impossible to
was
really defend.
His post moves were like a Hakeem Olajuwon for power forward.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
without the motor, though.
I mean, he didn't have necessarily all that athleticism, but he had the length, and I mean, you know,
Larry Bird had to punch him in the face to get him motivated.
He didn't have the Kareem skyhook, but I feel like, you know, for a player to come out of Minnesota and accomplish what he did, will we ever see that again? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
I mean, it's been a long time.
We talk about a ton of talent every week. Every week we talk about all the talent that's in Minnesota and all the people that are hopping around. You know, the Gary Trents and the. I mean, there's just the lists are. I mean, it's.
Right, I understand that, but you know, Minnesota, the Gophers haven't had a player drafted since Humphreys.
Oh, I see what you're driving.
That's just a start. Okay, but as far as a Minnesota player, I mean, who is the best Minnesota player playing professionally right now? I mean, it's probably Chris Humphreys.
Is he the only one?
We
got Cole Aldrich is out there. Alan Anderson's out there.
Okay,
who am I forgetting? There's another one. I can't remember.
Chris probably wins by default because he's getting ticked.
Right. So I mean, we need a Tyus Jones, right?
Well, yeah, Mike Muscala's still out there. He started
Mike
for Muscala, the Hawks.
That's right. Mike Muscala's right. Yeah. Nate Walters wasn't in the league, but I think he's. He's not anymore, but no. You know, you get at what I'm saying. I mean, I totally
get at what you're saying.
I feel like, you know, there needs to be a player that just takes it to another level and becomes a starter and becomes an all-star.
I'm going to take it to the next step. I'm going to take it a step further, okay? Because this has been the debate off the air, it seems like, for as far as it goes. So I'm gonna bring it back here.
Bring it back, man.
We got the Magnificent Seven that's coming out of Kentucky.
Okay.
Okafor, Decker declares. Who are the Wolves going to take? I mean, we've been talking about the need. It's either Okafor or Towns, right? But we're also debating whether or not the jury's out on Cauley-Stein, we're talking about, I mean, we keep coming back to the DeAndre Jordan, Kevin Love conversation, which
is who's more valuable in that situation.
Kali
Stein will not go over.
Well, will the Wolves get two? You know what I mean? Will the Wolves end up with like the seventh pick?
I think the debate
could get them Porzingis. Play like Porzingis for Porzingis.
But I think the debate, you know, the debate it really is, you know, Russell and Justice Winslow. I mean, are these guys, are, you know, you don't overlook potential James Harden, you know, and I mean, if you look at the teams that are competing right now, or the players that are competing for MVP, you're not seeing any centers there, you know, and you're looking at James Harden, you're looking at Steph Curry, you know, D'Angelo Russell just yesterday was the college player or shooting guard of the year. So these guys have bigger upside maybe than a Towns or Okafor. You don't know. I mean, if you had to look back and say, would you pick, you know, I don't know, would you pick Greg Oden or Steph Curry? I mean,
right.
You know, it's hard to compare Greg Oden because of injuries. Yeah, because of injuries. But at the time, there's no question you go with Greg Oden. But if you looked at what happened with his injuries, you looked at the fact that maybe if he was playing, would he have grown into the next best center in this game, or would he have been more of a defensive presence, been more of a rebounder type of center? You know what I mean? Is he going to develop his offensive game? And I think that's why a lot of people like Okafor over Towns, is because Okafor is going to come in, and Al and I were just talking about this off the air. He's going to come in and average probably 15 and 9 a game right away. Yeah. You know, I mean, and obviously the Wolves could definitely use a productive center right now on the offense.
Who do you
side.
Like?
I like Okafor. I think it's going to take Towns a little bit of time to get adjusted to the NBA. But I like Okafor to be ready to go. You know, when you can go in there and you can get him out there right away. And like Marcus said, he'll give you 14 and 9, you know, every night off the bench or something like that. But yeah, it's a tough pick. It's a toss up though.
I'm with you because I think he's ready, and I think he's going to slim down and get fit and be
Al Jefferson,
Chris Kaman. Al Jefferson at one time, you know, I mean, he was putting up 20 and 10 mm-hmm. easily. You know?
I'm not saying it's a terrible thing. I'm just saying they might.
Well, just don't say Al Jefferson because people, you're, you know,
there's a stigma attached. Yeah. But Al Jefferson does have, you know, he's got quite an arsenal. I think that Okafor is ultimately going to slim down, get in better shape, and get stronger, and he's going to be more of a presence than Al Jefferson is. He's going to be more, I think, mobile. Ultimately, I think his speed will increase. I think he'll get a little bit quicker because he's going to get in better shape. And I mean, Al Jefferson is nothing to sneeze at, but man, he's going to be better.
But again, the original debate that I brought up is, would you pick a Russell or Justice Winslow over these two big guys?
Right.
Because we're talking about, you know, potentially we could look back at this draft and people would be banging their head against the wall. Like, why wouldn't we pick Russell?
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Ben Holson from Radioactive Sports. He said that he might have even posed the question on air, like, how much different is the team going to look next year than it is this year? Because he thinks Ricky Rubio thinks that there's only like two untouchables, and it's Wiggins, and I don't even remember who he said the second one was, but I was like, what about Ricky? And he was like, nah, Ricky,
Kevin
he could
Garnett.
Go. Yeah, well, KG's going to end up owning the team, so that's not even part of the conversation. But Ricky Rubio goes, or, I mean, you make room for a D'Angelo Russell, because D'Angelo Russell is not going to be a two-guard in the NBA. He's a point guard. That's, I mean,
he's a combo. You know, I mean, he's going to be able to score at a high level.
And
he'll be a Steph Curry. I mean, you know, Curry, you can't pigeonhole and say he's a point guard. You know, he's a shooting guard. I mean, he's a scorer. He's a shooter. He dishes the ball. I mean, when he came out, that's one of the reasons why the Wolves didn't pick him.
Yeah.
You know, because they felt like he was just going to be a shooter in the league, and he wasn't able to make that transition in the point guard. And with Russell's size at 6'5", I mean, he's a better athlete than Rubio. That's not out of the question that you don't take, you know, Russell.
Yeah, and it's also, since it's a point guard-driven league now, it'd be very interesting, tempting not to take Russell.
I'm a big Russell guy. Now, if they get stuck in that spot, like, you know, do they take Mude? I'm not sure about him after watching him. D'Angelo Russell, I would love. Mude, I don't know.
You're a big guy in that the NBADraft.net, their potential guy. Don't they have Mude as a John Wall?
I don't remember. I think
it's a John Wall
comparison.
Hold on,
comparison. Let me think real fast.
That would be all right.
And if anybody in this
I could deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, John Wall.
I could deal with that.
So you're saying, okay, he could be John Wall potentially, and then obviously Winslow could be potentially James Harden. I mean, then you're looking at, okay, it's either Winslow or Mude.
I don't see Winslow as James Harden. I just don't. I think Russell's the greatest. If not, you go for Porzingis. 7'1", 220 pounds.
Play like Shingis.
But what would it do? I mean, you know, we're going back a conversation, but what would it do if Minnesota, if the Gophers had a player that was in the NBA right now that was just balling, you know, that on this killing it,
big.
On the killing it, we picked him as a killing it. You
right.
Because he was up there with you know, I don't want to say Steph Curry, but maybe if he had a great player in the NBA right now, or when's the last time we had a great player in the NBA? Bobby Jackson? The Gophers?
I mean, yeah, Bobby was a solid NBA player.
Yeah, Bobby.
Right. That's a long time.
He
that's
played
a long
for a
time.
Really exciting team.
I think part of the reason you talk about facilities, you talk about all this other stuff, but until they have a Gopher to go in the league and actually be on TV and doing some things, you know, I think that'll hurt them as well. And, you know, I mean, it might come up soon. It might, you know, might be 10 years from now, but they need one.
I mean, that's when we were back in the day, we thought maybe it was Royce. A lot of people thought it could have been Royce. That was. He was. I mean, you think about how good Royce was in high school and on the circuit. I mean, Royce was ridiculous.
We're like, it's like you sound like we're mourning the loss of Royce.
I don't know where he is. I don't even know where he's
Royce
playing.
White,
where he's
Royce White
these
is
days.
Actually he's in back in Minnesota right now. I just talked to his old AAU coach Renee Pulley. He's back in Minnesota right now. He's actually trying to start up a league.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's trying to start up a summer league, just like the old Howard Pulley league.
Wow.
Bring back players like Al and have a play against Tyus Jones and some of these extra.
We should get out and cover some of them. I'd like to go.
Yeah, I'd love it too.
If anybody wants us to be out there at their tournament, we'd love to be there and see y'all, man. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket. Thank you, Al, for being our first guest and our last guest of the regular season. The regular season. We are going to continue podcasting. We're going to be on Twitter. Stay at us. It's at One and Done 105. Spell out the One and Done. I'm Hardwood Rob. For Marcus Fuller and Ryan James, thank you very much for listening.